for WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Senator Mark Warner says he sees some good that may come out of Trump's comments on Charlottesville. We'll have the latest on the legal battle over the Robert E. Lee statue that was at the center of what happened in Charlottesville last weekend. And we take a look at how some faith leaders are responding to Charlottesville and to the problems of race more broadly. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, August 18th.
Support for the WMRA Daily comes from Blue Ridge Community College. When you earn a two-year associate degree, transferring to a four-year college is possible through their guaranteed transfer agreement programs. More information at brcc.edu.
Democratic U.S. Senator Mark Warner says there is some latent good coming from the president's comments about the forces responsible for violence last weekend in Charlottesville. The president has been criticized this week for not speaking out strongly enough against the Nazis and white supremacists who gathered there. Speaking to WCVE in Richmond Thursday afternoon, Senator Warner said the critiques have been bipartisan.
The kind of moral equivalency that the president was hedging towards was soundly rejected by Democrats, Republicans, business leaders alike. And strangely enough, his failure to lead may actually allow some coming together, some bipartisan coming together, that actually may be a bit of positive that comes out of this tragedy.
Senator Warner says he's hopeful the bipartisanship will carry over into other aspects of the Senate. The violence that erupted in Charlottesville over the weekend was prompted by the legal fight over the statue of Robert E. Lee and the city's desire to remove it. That is a legal battle that's still unfolding in the courts. And as Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports, it's far from settled.
Just because the Charlottesville City Council voted 3-2 to sell that statue of Robert E. Lee and remove it from a city park, that does not mean it's going to happen. That's because there's a legal challenge filed by the Sons of Confederate Veterans about whether Charlottesville has the authority to do that. Now, when council members voted on this issue back in February, Councilman Bob Fenwick warned that the vote might end up being a moot point.
There is now no imminent action planned for the statue because of the legal filings, and the duration and outcome of the legal action is unknowable.
Virginia legal expert Rich Kelsey says the city has a very difficult case to make because that statue is probably covered by a state law protecting war memorials.
What they're going to argue is that these aren't memorials for the war or soldiers. They are memorials to individuals, and therefore the statute doesn't apply. I think that's hard to prove. I think it's going to be a stretch.
The final hearing on the legal challenge is set for August 30th. Now, if the court rules in favor of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, the only way that statue could be removed is if the General Assembly passes a law to make that happen. I'm Michael Pope.
Mourners will gather to remember one of the two Virginia State Troopers who died in a helicopter crash while monitoring the white supremacist protests in Charlottesville. A funeral for Trooper Pilot Burke Bates is scheduled for 11 a.m. Friday at St. Paul's Baptist Church in Richmond. A private burial will follow. Authorities say Bates was a passenger in a helicopter providing video to police of activities in downtown Charlottesville last Saturday before it broke off to lend support to a motorcade for Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe. A funeral for the helicopter's pilot, Lieutenant Jay Cullen, is set for Saturday. Also, Governor McAuliffe says he does not want Virginia included in a new review of an oil and gas leasing program on the Outer Continental Shelf. McAuliffe on Thursday released a letter he sent last week to the U.S. Bureau of Ocean Energy Management. The agency is conducting a review of the National Outer Continental Shelf oil and gas leasing program. The shelf includes areas off the coast of Virginia. McAuliffe says the issue of revenue sharing has not been resolved. He also says that President Donald Trump's administration is, quote, actively working to reduce funding from agencies that would protect Virginia's coast. In May, the Trump administration announced that it is moving forward with efforts toward allowing offshore drilling in the mid and South Atlantic regions. Finally today, among the many groups that descended on Charlottesville last weekend for Saturday's rally of white supremacists, a collection of faith leaders from around the country stood together to provide solace and solidarity in the midst of chaos. WMRA's Faith Pinu has this story about how the Episcopal Church responded to events in Charlottesville and how it is addressing issues of race in general.
The night before protests and violence broke out on Charlottesville streets last Saturday, a group of clergy members and churchgoers gathered together in St. Paul's Memorial Episcopal Church to prepare for the weekend's events. As the people sang and prayed indoors, a growing group of alt-right protesters gathered just across the street at the University of Virginia's Thomas Jefferson Rotunda, gearing up for the next day's planned rally. The Reverend Elaine Ellis Thomas, associate rector at St. Paul's Memorial, helped organize the prayer meeting for Christians from all over the country.
There was a lot of noise from across the street and people from over there coming to us to get away from the violence that was there or coming to get help if they could. There were times when we had to lock our doors and keep people in place because it was not safe for some of our people to leave if they were parked in the direction of the University of Virginia. So we ended up letting people out one of our side doors towards the back and encouraging them to go out in groups.
The meeting of protesters and counter-protesters at UVA Friday night foreshadowed the violent and fatal clashes that would take place downtown the next day. And the prayer meeting was telling of what kind of role the church would take as the weekend unfolded. Thomas said several people from her congregation and members of the interfaith group gathered that night showed up to counter-protest. Others decided the best way to respond to the rally was to pray.
We determined that having a mass prayer meeting the night before, reminiscent of the civil rights gatherings, the night before there would be a march or a demonstration. Dr. King would come and preach, and the people would pray and sing and gird themselves up for what lay ahead. So it was in that spirit that we had this prayer meeting on Friday evening at St. Paul's Memorial Church.
Historically, churches have not always chosen one side when issues of race and justice arise. As far back as the Civil War, churches in the North offered platforms for abolitionists, such as Frederick Douglass, while in the South, Confederates and pro-slavery supporters, such as Jefferson Davis, spoke from the pulpit. President Abraham Lincoln, speaking to both Union and Confederate supporters in his second inaugural address, acknowledged, quote, "Both read the same Bible and pray to the same God, and each invokes his aid against the other." As Father Daniel Robayo of Emmanuel Episcopal Church in Harrisonburg said, the church has been split in its message in more recent years, too.
The church was involved clearly in perpetuating Jim Crow in the South, but the church was also involved in dismantling it. So we've been both part of the problem and the solution.
These days, the Episcopalians are taking a stronger stance on one side. The National Episcopal Church issued a project back in May entitled Becoming Beloved Community. This proposal for, quote, racial reconciliation harkens back to Martin Luther King's vision for a more just society, both in name, the beloved community, and in purpose. The plan outlines a range of initiatives, from taking a churchwide census, to hosting story-sharing events, to helping formerly incarcerated people reenter society. Bishop Mark Bourlakis of the Episcopal Diocese of Southwestern Virginia plans to host talks on racial reconciliation throughout the fall. He said his hope with the talks is to bring people from different parts of the community together to engage with each other.
We need to be talking to each other so that when things like this happen, we know each other, and we can come together with each other, and we cannot assume the worst, but assume the best about each other.
Speaking just one day after the violence in Charlottesville, Robayo of the Emmanuel Church in Harrisonburg said now is an important time for churches to seriously look at issues of race and justice and understand what is going on in their communities.
Three people were killed yesterday for no reason in Charlottesville. And we really need to come to terms with and address the deep-seated distrust that exists in our nation, in our communities, around race, around belonging, around opportunity. And not doing anything is to do something.
While the Episcopal Church has a reputation for being one of the more liberal denominations, Bishop Bourlakis said the purpose of the Becoming Beloved Community plan is to transform hearts and minds, not to start a political debate.
We don't have to agree with everybody. We have to believe that everybody's made in God's image and everybody has a dignity that needs to be respected, regardless of whether you are in the same political party as me, went to the same university as me, go to a different church than I do, I use a different barbecue sauce, whatever it is.
Local churches are beginning to respond to the National Episcopal Church's call to action in different ways. Some congregations will use the opportunity to revisit their history and understand the church's position on race over the years. Some will help fundraise for local historically black colleges and universities. And, as in the case of St. Paul's Memorial Church in Charlottesville, some will just be there to offer a place of prayer and song as chaos rages on outside. For WMRA News, I'm Faith Pinu.
And you can learn more about the beloved community at WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for joining me. Enjoy your Friday.